The following Piano Jazz podcast is from a program which originally aired in 1999.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is pianist and singer Lawston Harris. His gifts are many. He has an elegant touch, good taste, and a judicious use of dynamics. And he has a fine way with a song. All in all, I'd say a jazz man who commands attention. Right, Lawston? Hi, how are you?
Hi, if you say so.
Well, I think it's true. It's really nice to have you here on the show.
Thank you so much.
You seem to have burst on the scene.
It's funny. It wasn't my choice. I started off as a drummer, and ever since
I was nine
years old, I played drums. And then I went to study at Virginia Commonwealth University, where I met Ellis Marsalis. He was the director of jazz studies there.
Uh-huh.
And upon hearing me play the drums, he was very, very unimpressed. And basically, he's like, you need to either take up a new profession or go back and really check out the history of the instrument, because there was just so much I had missed growing up taking drum lessons. And just one afternoon, he heard me kind of goofing off in his studio playing the piano. And he says, you have a natural touch. You should develop it and study piano. He's like, there's not enough piano players, that with good natural feel. And slowly I took his advice, and that's
well, I'm glad you did.
Yes.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, before we go any further, I would love to hear you play something solo.
Sure.
What's this one going to be?
I was thinking a little G Baby, Ain't I Good to You?
That's a great one. That's a great one. It's really a nice arrangement of that tune.
Thank you.
It's funny. I guess I'm used to hearing it done by singers at a slow tempo, and that's really nice to do it that way.
Yeah, it just has a little bounce to it.
Movement. But I guess I sort of think that you must have been listening to some of the great piano players of the past as well as the ones of the present.
One of my heroes is great Earl Garner, and along with, Oscar Peterson, Nat King Cole. I think it's good to go back and, check out the history of the instrument.
Well, it is, because, some people start right in with playing far out, and, you really do need to know where all these things come from, because, like, Fats Waller, he was the Herbie Hancock of his day,
sure.
I would think.
Yeah, and if you asked Herbie who he listened to, he would tell you people of, who came before him. He doesn't just listen to himself. Some people just stop there, but
I think people who are playing today, as you say, like Herbie, I don't think Herbie has time to listen to himself. And if he did, he probably would be saying, well, I've done that, on to the next one. How many records have you made now, Lawston?
This is my debut CD this past summer, and I did a demo CD several years ago for a local label in Washington, D.C. So technically it's my first.
Well, I'd love to hear another tune, and maybe on this one you might sing a little part of it.
I'd love to. There's actually, the inspiration for me adding vocals to my concept was listening to the great Nat Cole. And there's a song that I heard him record or play on one of his CDs. It's called "I Just Can't See for Looking."
That's a good tune, and you never hear it. This'll be wonderful.
Maybe I talk too much, and maybe I've lost my touch. Guess I don't know what's cooking, and just can't see for looking. And other boys have their chicks, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. I don't seem to get a booking, I just can't see for looking. I'm kinda crazy, just like a daisy up that well-known tree. Poor me, I'm sitting hoping, horoscoping, won't somebody take a chance with me?
Boy, that's such a good tune, and I haven't heard that since years ago when it was a big hit for Nat King Cole. Is that where you heard it?
That's where I first heard it. I bought the, actually, it was a double CD set, platinum collection, you know, and it was $19, and all these tunes I'd never heard of, and that was one of them.
Now, that's maybe a clue to how you pick tunes. Do you listen to a lot of records? And
I'm on an actual search now to find, like, great songs, not often recorded, you know, but just tunes I think I can bring my own personality to and just reintroduce to a new era.
I think that's good because they're out there, and even the one that you did, or the title of your record, Comes Love, that is a tune that you never hear.
Sure, sure. Actually, I didn't even know where that tune came from. I hadn't heard a recording, an actual recording of it, until after we did the record. And then someone said, have you heard Billie Holiday do this tune? And I listened to a Billie Holiday recording of it. But prior to that, I'd never heard a recording.
I didn't know that she recorded it. The only one I know is a friend of mine that maybe you've heard her sing, Helen Merrill.
Helen Merrill.
Yeah, she picked good tunes, and she did that one, but it was years ago. It's got to be about the... 25 years ago.
Wow.
But there are so many great songs out there. And
too
it's
many.
Going to be terrific if you discover and bring back some of the ones that have been sort of neglected, you know.
It's so much joy in doing that, reinventing and bringing a fresh approach to old classics.
Well, how do you decide on something? Did you, like that last tune, I know Nat Cole did it, but was it sort of because of the lyric?
Yeah, the message, I once was reading and heard that Frank Sinatra was quoted as saying, you can't sing what you don't know, and meaning what you don't believe in and what you've experienced or, you know, can imagine. And that's just one of those tunes that everyone, I would think, can kind of relate to.
It's good that you picked up on that because, you know, that song, it's perfect for you.
Wow.
And, well, something we haven't done yet, Lawson, and that's play a duet. I think we should try that. What do you think we should do?
Sure. A little T for Two.
That'd be nice. So, well, let's do that. I'll play the verse, and then we'll go back and forth. Okay?
Let's try. Thank you.
You know what's a nice thing you did on that tune, Lawson, is play a kind of Earl Hines-ish type chorus.
Exactly.
I mean, was that really something you heard Earl Hines do?
I heard a recording of something. I can't even remember where it was. There's so many records out there, but that's kind of his style and his approach to some things, and I decided to adapt that to
the melody
our
and the bass line and the, all the little frilly arpeggios.
That's really cool.
Oh, he did a lot of that. You know, I worked with Earl. We went to South America, Earl Hines, myself, Teddy Wilson, and Ellis Larkins. And so I used to stand around backstage and hear him work on a song. And he picked this tune by Burt Bacharach, which kind of surprised me. Hmm. Close to You, you know, this one. Imagine him kind of working it up every night, and it would get to be something where he would do all those very flamboyant runs.
Yes.
And things that he was so fond of doing. But it was nice to sort of see the tune grow from just being, he barely knew it, to where he's very playing it real full. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, amazing. I guess you've listened to a lot of his records.
Yeah, actually, I got, when I started to check out Nat King Cole and was so impressed with his piano playing, I found that Nat Cole used to hang out and listen to Earl Hines. So I was like, who's this Earl Hines character? And then I went back and checked that out. So, you know, that goes back to the history once again. You know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you're boning up on so much jazz history. You're going to find all that out. And how about composing? You've composed a few things, haven't you?
I certainly have. Yeah.
Well, how did you get into that? Did you just sit down and start writing?
You know, it evolved listening to my contemporaries and listening to a lot of music that I was already playing, standards. And now I'm at the point where I'm trying to write songs in the style of a Gershwin or Porter tune and include lyrics with similar changes to kind of reflect, you know, a new, I guess, new standards.
You mean to do a Cole Porter, not the melody line, but the chords? And
Well, not even the chords from a particular song, but just if I were to write an original, sometimes I'll throw it in the middle of a set and people will ask, where'd you find that song? You know, is that Porter? Is that, you know, I'll say, no, it's an original tune. It reminds you of something that came before, and I think that's a challenge.
Well, that's great if you can do that, because I hate to say it, but a lot of the newly written tunes are really kind of alike. It seems that a lot mm-hmm. of people into a sort of bebop or post-bop bag,
exactly.
And a lot of the tunes come out being sort of clever, I would say clever rhythmically and harmonically, but not too much melody.
Exactly.
And you probably are thinking you'd write a nice melody.
Well, yeah, I got lucky. I teamed up with a lyricist who's been around for quite some time, and he writes in the style lyrically of Gershwin, and really it's like me putting music to, you know, putting those changes and coming up with creative melodies that you have almost, it's like original classics. You know?
Well, I mean, you really ought to do one. If you've got one you can play and sing?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that'll be great. What's this one called?
This is called Absolutely No One But You, lyrics by Leonard Greenberg and music by myself.
Okay.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.
I've been looking around, and I must say that I've finally found absolutely no one, no one but you for me. When my future looks bare, you take my hand and I'm floating on air. Absolutely no one does what you do to me. You're my lucky star, my favorite person by far. I wanna be wherever you are, holding you tightly, nightly when I lay me to sleep. There's only one love that I'm praying to keep. Absolutely no one, no one but you for